Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're embarking on a really fascinating exploration into Banquet Before Dawn. Our mission for you, the astute reader, is to go beyond just the plot and really unlock its profound, maybe even unsettling critique of power and integrity. This is about adding layers to your understanding, especially if you've already walked through its pages.
Absolutely. And what's so striking about Banquet Before Dawn is how it doesn't just, you know, tell you about the corrosion of idealism, it shows it. The book masterfully illustrates these subtle moments where compromise hardens into actual corruption.
Yes, it's like that idea of death by a thousand small cuts, but applied to politics and ethics. It makes you wonder if today's political landscape isn't just the result of countless tiny, quiet compromises piling up over time.
Exactly. The novel acts almost like a political ethics stress test, you could say. It pushes its characters right to their limits, and it paints this really vivid picture of Washington, or maybe politics in general, as this grand stage set.
A stage set where the actors seem to fear becoming irrelevant much more than they fear, well, actual wrongdoing. And what the book forces you, the reader, to confront is this kind of chilling transformation. This idea that winning often means losing pieces of yourself.
It's not always about one big scandal, is it? It's more insidious. It's the psychological toll, where maybe a principled stand gives way to a convenient lie, or public service slowly shifts into just self-preservation.
And this really comes alive through the characters, doesn't it? They become these conduits for exploring corruption and, importantly, choice. At the center, of course, you have Congressman John J. Sullivan.
Sullivan, yeah. The powerful, very savvy, calculating congressman from Brooklyn. He's a total master manipulator. His re-election campaign becomes this sort of crucible.
A crucible not just for him, but for the decaying idealism of the whole political system, maybe. He's constantly balancing that public image against his private schemes, always testing the line.
And his journey really makes you ask, how much compromise is too much? You know, 4 years fundamentally changed.
Which brings us to the people caught in his orbit, like April, his young, ambitious campaign assistant.
Right, April. She's intelligent, driven, but also quite emotionally complex. She starts off loyal, seemingly, but you really see her growing disillusionment as Sullivan makes more and more moral compromises.
Her arc is fascinating. It poses that critical question, especially for anyone drawn to politics. Can you even survive in that world with your integrity fully intact?
It's a tough question the book doesn't shy away from.
Mm-hmm.
Then, as a complete contrast, you have Aram Umarion.
Sullivan's rival, the fiery, idealistic reformer. He comes in with this populist message, very much the outsider. He's not just a political opponent. He's an ideological threat to Sullivan's whole machine.
Exactly. Umarion embodies that classic tension, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Idealism versus the, let's face it, often grimy reality of established power. The book really digs into whether genuine reform can actually win against a system that's so deeply entrenched.
And you can't talk about Sullivan's machine without mentioning Sam Spitalnick.
Ugh. Spitalnick, the loyal political fixer.
Yeah.
Cynical, street smart. He knows all the backroom deals. He's the guy who does the dirty work, really.
And his character shows the unseen labor that keeps these political operations running, right? And the sheer cost of that kind of unwavering loyalty inside a, frankly, corrupt system makes you think about all the hidden gears.
Absolutely. All these individual struggles, Sullivan's compromises, April's dilemma, Umarion's fights, Spitalnick's loyalty. They all connect.
They connect to the bigger picture, yeah. Things like celebrity-style campaigning, that intense tribal loyalty we see, the sort of ethical flexibility. The book really pushes you to consider if redemption is even on the table in politics.
Or is it always this kind of banquet where conscience arrives, you know, just too late?
So, wrapping this up for you, the reader, Banquet Before Dawn serves as this kind of haunting reminder. The specifics might change technology, media cycles, but the underlying dynamics of ambition, ego, betrayal, they feel eerily constant.
This deep dive, hopefully, adds another layer to your appreciation of just how relevant and masterful it is. If you haven't picked it up yet, or maybe it's been a while, it's definitely worth experiencing.
It leaves you with a pretty potent question to mull over, doesn't it? In a world where image can sometimes seem to replace ideology, and power doesn't always seem to have a moral compass, what pieces of ourselves are we, or maybe they, willing to lose?